This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Welcome to worship. My name is Pastor Jeff, and just on behalf of our whole congregation, we welcome you to worship this morning. We invite you to be joined together as we raise our voice in song. Let us stand and sing our opening hymn.
God cares for us completely and calls us to care for others. Christ gave his life that we might live and calls us to give our lives for the transformation of the world. Through Christ, we have been freed to serve. Through Christ, we are fully alive, freed to love and serve. All are welcome here. Thanks be to God.
As you welcome them.
Thanks for being here, everybody. Hey, good morning, church. As you find your way back to your seats this morning, let me just welcome you one more time. My name is Jeff Nelson. I'm one of the pastors here at Royal Oak First United Methodist Church, and just want to welcome you all to worship here with us this morning. Here at Royal Oak First, we exist to make God's love real. We hope that you experience real love, the opportunity to be connected in real friendships, and an invitation to make a real difference in the world. I got to tell you how you know when you're among people who start to love you and get you and understand you is when they learn it's your birthday and people from your church give you things like bacon socks. Look at that, huh? Kevin, don't be jealous. Don't be a hater. Don't be a hater. And look at this t-shirt that I got. Sundays are for Jesus and Packer football. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? How are the Michigan State fans doing this morning? All right. Michigan, are you in the house or are you still hungover? All right, you're here too. It's good to have you here with us. Hey, I just want to make a couple of announcements for the good of the community this morning. There's lots going on in the life of the church. Make sure you check out your bulletin, but I just want to highlight three things quickly. First of all, is an invitation to come this afternoon over to our house at 3113 Marion, right here in Royal Oak. It's our new members gathering. If you are new to our church and want to find out more about what God's doing here, I invite you to come. I know some folks who are excited to come and learn how they can connect deeper with this congregation, so we're excited to have any and all of you at our house this afternoon. The Packer game's at 4:30. You can stay until 4:20, all right? Then you must leave. Okay. Second thing I want to let you know about is a really special thing that we're going to be starting here. It's called our Saturday Night Supper Club. It's just an opportunity to reconfigure the old-fashioned United Methodist potluck. Bring a dish to pass. Be connected together with your friends. We're going to do one on Saturday coming up here at the end of the month, October 28th. You bring a dish. We'll bring the main dish. My friend Jim Shoemaker at the Saturday service, he's a widower, and he's like, I can't make anything. I says, can you buy a bag of chips? That I can do. That's a dish to pass as far as I'm concerned. So don't let that be the reason you can't and don't come. I'm especially excited about this first one because our program that night is going to be the Nahat Family Singers. They're going to be putting together a program for us of all the music that they've sung together in their house and here at the church throughout the year, so you don't want to miss that. And finally, I just want to remind you that to get connected into one of our connecting groups, this Tuesday at 10 a.m. is the pastor's Bible study. It happens right here in the sanctuary. So if you like Bible study, come and meet me here at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. There's a women's book study happening on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. That's also happening right here in the sanctuary. And then we have a Thursday morning men's group, 7 a.m. That's for the hardcore, right? So come and join us for Bible study at 7 a.m. On Thursday morning. Those are all the announcements I have for the good of the community, but I want to take a minute and recognize an important anniversary that's happening here in the life of our church. Al and Margaret Simmons, come on down here for a minute. Barbara, come and join them. Would you like to? Oh, you stay right there. That's fine. Turn and face this beautiful congregation of yours. Alan, Margaret, how long have you been married? 71 years this year. 71 years this last week. Would you do me a favor? Would you turn and face each other and hold hands? I'm going to offer a prayer of blessing. Gracious God, we give you thanks for Al and Margaret. That 71 years ago, they made a promise to each other that in good times and in bad times, in sickness and in health, that they would love each other and that you would love them. We give you thanks that this promise is held all of these years. Bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Al, what's the secret to 71 years of marriage?
I'm still trying to find it.
He's still trying to figure it out. That's probably the secret right there, that there is no secret. God bless you both. What's it been like married to this guy for 71 years? Not bad, she said. Not bad at all. Boy, let's give them a nice hand. Round of applause. Think we can make another 50, Bridge? Yes. She says, if I have to, I'm in, right? Let's invite our children to come on down for children's time.
And if you will, bring a hymnal with you if you have one close by. Bring a hymnal with you. If not, let me give you one of these. Oh, thank you, Park. You brought one. You need this? You'll need this? You'll need this? Let me give a few more. I'll get one for you. Hang on. Now, we're actually not going to sing anything today. And if you didn't get one, that's okay. But let's see if we can't get. There you go. Virginia, let me get one more for Virginia. If you don't have one, that's okay. We're just going to build something. Pass this back to Virginia. Careful. I'm going to put one right here, like this. I need somebody to give me theirs. Let's put it right here. Now, everybody put yours on top. Carson, would you put yours on top? Put yours on top. We're building a tower. We're building a tower. Now, somebody put one this way. It's okay. Put one this way.
This one?
Mm-hmm. Put one this way. Let's build our tower. Let's build it tall. There you go.
Oh, this is so weird.
This is weird. Build it tall.
The Bible works.
I know, right? Build it as tall as we can. Now, is that all? Yeah, here's our tower. Now, what happens if I take this one off?
It gets shorter.
Just gets shorter, but nothing happens. Nothing bad happens, right? You could take one of the ones off the top. But what happens if I take, you know I'm going to do it. If I go all the way down here, are you ready? You think it's going to fall? What's going to happen? Oh, there he goes. You know why? The bottom one is called the cornerstone. That on the very bottom is called the cornerstone. Yeah, and you know what? When Jesus was alive, he told everybody, I am the cornerstone. I am the foundation of God's love. And you know, remember when Jesus was on earth and you know they sent him to the cross, they kind of threw away the stone. He said, don't worry, I'll be back. I will be back because I am the cornerstone of your life. What happens when we pull that cornerstone out? What happens?
It falls down.
It falls down, right. It falls down. Jesus is your cornerstone. He's the foundation of everything you need in this life. So just remember that Jesus is your cornerstone. He is your foundation. So are you guys ready to go do some Sunday school? Would anybody like to start a prayer for us today? Does anybody feel like that? Virginia, would you like to pray for us? Let's bow our heads. Go ahead, Virginia. Amen. Thank you, Virginia. You guys can head off to Sunday school.
Friends, this morning we get to participate in probably what is my favorite thing to do in the life of the church, and that is to be present for the sacrament of baptism. The sacrament of baptism recognizes what we call God's prevenient grace. As our ushers come by and give you this chance to record your attendance with us today, you can be saying that I was present. I was present at this moment for this child as she enters into this community and communion of the faith. Today we are blessed to invite Avery Avery and her family to come forward at this time as we prepare her for the sacrament of baptism. Please come, Avery, and bring the whole clan with you. If you're here in support of Avery, you're all welcome to come. Grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, you're welcome to come. If you're like, yeah, come on down. Unless you're the designated photographer. Come, come. After three boys, they finally had a girl. And then they said they're done. Yes. Come on over here, Mom. The sacrament of baptism recognizes God's blessing with us our whole lives. Hey, guys, remember this water? Yeah, come here. Take a look. Look at that. Put your hand in there. Isn't that cool? That's the blessing water. See? You can touch it. Yep. We're going to put that on your sister's head. One time somebody put that on your head. And you screamed. It was awesome. What is the name of the child you bring forward for baptism today?
Avery Marie.
Avery Marie. I ask you, Mom and Dad, have you received Avery Marie as a gift from God? Yes. Will you do all that you can to continue to raise her with joy and with hope and with love?
Yes.
Will you do your best to bring her connected to this place so that she can be surrounded by God's love? We have a godparents over here. This is a big deal. You're getting asked to be godparents. You know what your main job as godparents is? Spoiler. Can you do that? Will you be good friends to her? Will you love her? Will you be a good example? Good. If she gets in trouble, will you not tell her Mom and Dad? Unless it's really serious trouble? All right, good. You're making a promise to be her special friend, to walk with her whole life, to remember her birthdays and Christmas. Hey, guys, you do your best to be a good big brother? Austin, will you do your best to be a good big brother? Good. He says, yeah, I will. Church. Will we welcome Avery into our midst? Will you make a commitment to her, to love her, and to welcome her, and to grow her, and to help her feel like she is home? If so, say we will. Myra, would you join me? And Kay, would you join me? The baptismal gown that Avery is wearing comes from her mother's wedding dress. A covenant promise that the two of you made to each other, doing fine. Let them play in it. It's all good. It's all married right here in this place. Avery Marie, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God love you and honor you and keep you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How am I doing, okay? Church, this is our new kid. You made some promises to her today that you're going to love her and raise her. And you want to go back to Mom pretty quick here, don't you? Yeah. Church family, if you would you come and surround this family with your hands as we offer a time of blessing to them? Come. Got them? This is the Kuznia family. Come. Thank you. Place a hand on the shoulder of someone in front of you. In one way or another, we're all connected to this little girl. Will you join me in a time of blessing? Gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for patient parents who are tending to all of their kids all at the same time. And we give you thanks for this new life that's in our midst. We give you thanks for this family of faith that promises to surround them and love them and give them a place to call home for the rest of their journey. We ask this all humbly in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Kay, you've got a present for her here. And a present from Myra. We can leave that on the stand if you want and get it after the service. Is that easier? Yeah. Welcome. Would you guys welcome Avery into our midst? Pardon? Yesterday was my birthday. Well, happy birthday. Gosh, she's a doll. Oh my goodness. Remember your baptism. Lacey, remember your baptism. Remember your baptism.
Please join me in this unison prayer of the people. Oh God, you are the giver of all life. You provide for what you have made. Be with our spirits this day and teach us to be thankful for all that you offer. Move us to be generous with others. Guide us so that we are a blessing to others. Be near to us and help us trust your love. We pray for all the world today. By your Holy Spirit, let us speak peace. Let us make peace. And let us be peace. In the stillness, hear our prayers.
Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the week that has gone past, although it has been a hard week in the world that is around us. We still recognize that you are with us. God, we give you thanks for the sound of children in our midst today, that we are a church that is growing and a church that is welcoming new ones into our midst. God, we give you thanks for kids. God, remind us that we're all your kids. People of different ages, races, and backgrounds brought together in one place to be one people. And so, God, we just ask that you unite us together as that one people as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we move into our time of offering, is that what's next? Offering?
Yes.
As we move into our time of offering this morning, it's our Mission Sunday. Second Sunday of the month is always Mission Sunday, and that means any special offerings that you put in those special green envelopes go to help make mission happen. I want to tell you about mission that's happening here in the life of the church. I want to invite two of my missionaries. Where's Lori and Robin? Are they here with me? Lori and Robin, come on up here for a minute. Lori Lori and Robin have just returned on a special mission that our church has sent them on. They've just come back from Lithuania. Lithuania has been a long-time partnership here at Royal Oak First. For 20 years, we have been supporting the young and burgeoning church in Lithuania that reemerged after the fall of communism. As you know, for nearly a century, the Christian movement in places where the former Soviet Union was in power was driven underground. And really only for the last 20 years has religious freedom been a new experiment in areas of the world like that. 20 years ago, this church invested in the fledgling Methodist movement in that country. We've gone back to visit, and these two missionaries come home with the word of good news. Robin, tell us about what you experienced while you were there in Lithuania.
Well, I didn't know why we were in Lithuania, to be honest with you. And when we went, it was very clear that it's a country that is trying to basically make God's love available to all, so that those people that don't realize how connected they can be. So it was sort of an aha moment for me, because that's what I heard the minister saying, is that he wants to be relevant to the community, he wants to be in the community, he wants to be helpful for the community. So it sort of rang very familiar. So it just became really apparent that this is a country that is in its infancy as far as the Methodist movement, and they're doing great things that are so parallel to what we're doing in our own community that it's really a place I think we need to support.
Lori, what message do you bring back to our church about why now is the time for us to take this historic partnership that we've had and breathe new life into it?
Well, I think now is the time is because they are in a moment of rebirth right now in Lithuania. They are saying the same thing we're saying. They're saying now is the time. Now is the time that we need to take the message out into the community. Now is the time we need to love each other. And they really want to be in partnership with us, not us just going and doing painting in their building. They want us to be a part of their community of faith. And so I think it's really, the time is now.
When we get involved in Lithuania, we're looking at small house churches that are growing up all over the place. Tell us about where you went to worship that day.
Well, on Sunday we went into Vilnius, which is the capital, and the young minister there is married to Elenis, which I don't know if any of you remember her from 20 years ago. She came to visit as a young adult. And he was very excited to tell us at the conference that we were at that weekend about his growing congregation and how vibrant it has become. And when we got there, there was about six people there that were not Americans or that had not been to the conference. And that's the small little steps that we're talking about. But they are looking to do programs for all sorts of stuff, programs for after school, for kids, for parent, for elderly, for all sorts of, you know, hospital visits, shut-in visits. And when we were in that church, it was a welcome center, and then it was a service, and then it was a coffee hour, and then they're setting up for a children's program the next day, all within an area that's as big as maybe half of the narthex. So it was very interesting to see how well they make use of what they have.
You both came back really fired up and excited about what God might be doing here, and you said, let's take this historic partnership that we've had in Lithuania and let's breathe some new life into it. Lori, how are we going to begin doing that again starting this month?
Well, starting this month, we are going to be doing Noisy Bucket again. Myra, could you hold that cup up so everybody could see it? It's a little plastic cup. We'll be getting permanent ones that you can put up on your windowsill or your counter, and it says Change Matters, Lithuania. We're going to be doing Noisy Bucket on the fourth Sunday. Put your change all month in that cup and then bring it to church, and that money, whatever we collect, goes directly to the church in Lithuania.
And Robin, you came back saying we're going again. So when are we going back to Lithuania?
Well, when do I think we should go back to Lithuania is in 2018. I think we need to get back to Lithuania. We also talked about having some programs to maybe bring some of their youth to our choir camp. We talked about doing some Skyping with their youth group and our youth group. They're all about community and service and music, and I just feel that our presence is very important there. So I'm hoping it happens in 2018 or at least early 2019.
If anyone here is interested in taking a mission trip to Lithuania, we'd love to have you go. One of the things that Royal Oak First did in its very first mission trips is parents took one of their teenagers or early preteens on the trip, and it was a life-changing experience where Neil Harris took his son Jeff, where Mark Lohman took his daughter Jenny, where Lucille Evans took her daughter Amber. These three adults have been leaders in our church ever since. That kind of thing can change. I'm going to take Casey. I want to know if you want to, are you taking Hannah? Kev, you coming? Maybe, we'll see, if he's invited. We'd like you to come and join us. Brothers and sisters, as you give today, know that your giving makes a difference, not just here, but around the world. Would you thank Robin and Lori for being our hands and feet? Thank you. Gracious God, for these gifts and these givers, we give you thanks for both. We ask that you add your blessing to them all and then send them all forth from this place out into the world to proclaim your good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You all may be seated.
Our scripture today is from Matthew 21, verses 33 through 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he rented it to tenant farmers and took a trip. When it was time for harvest, he sent his servants to the tenant farmers to collect his fruit. But the tenant farmers grabbed his servants. They beat some, and some they killed. Some of them they stoned to death. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first group. They treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenant farmers saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come on, let's kill him, and we'll have his inheritance." They grabbed him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. When the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenant farmers? They said, "He will probably destroy those wicked farmers and rent the vineyard to other tenant farmers who will give him the fruit when it's ready." Jesus said to them, Haven't you ever read in the scripture, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it's amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that God's kingdom will be taken from you and be given to a people who produce its fruit. Whoever falls on this stone will be crushed, and the stone will crush the person it falls on. Now, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard the parable, they knew Jesus was talking about them. They were trying to arrest him, but they feared the crowds who thought he was a prophet. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
No, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up to the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Well, I stand my ground, won't be turned around, and I keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I need to stand my ground, and I won't back down.
You know this one.
Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, yeah, step back down, and I won't back down.
No, I won't.
No, I won't back down.
Thank you. When it comes to my life, I divide my life into two categories. I have the BB phase and the AB phase. That's before Bridget and after Bridget. Life really divides cleanly before I was married and after I was married. This was interesting to do at the first service because I was making these confessions in front of my middle schooler. I had to admit that before Bridget, you know, I just wasn't very smooth when it came to the ladies. I was actually pretty bad, right? You know, and I told this story. There was this girl that I liked a lot before I had met Bridget, and her name was Paula. And Paula was cute, and she was funny, and I was smitten and too embarrassed to tell her. So I did what all guys do in that moment. I became her secret admirer. Right? So on Monday, right, I dropped her this note in her campus mailbox, right? And I said, "Hey, Paula, I think you're cool. Love your secret admirer." Right? Tuesday, I'd figured out what her favorite candy bar was. So I brought her favorite candy bar and I put it in that campus mailbox and it said, "Hey, Paula, I still think you're cool. Love your secret admirer." And I put that in her mailbox. Wednesday, I went and got a flower. One flower, not a rose. I didn't want to freak her out, as if I hadn't already freaked her out. You know, I think I got a carnation or something. Made sure it was pink, not red. Didn't want to come on too strong. And, "Dear Paula, I think you're cool. Love your secret admirer." Well, this was all building up for the great big reveal. You know, on Friday I was gonna let her know who I was, and so Thursday had to be the one that would seal the deal. Right? On my campus that I went to college, there was a river that split the campus in two. And there was a footbridge that students crossed to get from one side of the campus to the other. In the spring, when I was doing this, the riverbanks were low and there were rocks all over the riverbank. And when you'd walk across that footbridge, you could look down and you could see all the rocks. So Thursday night, I went out in the middle of the night and it was raining. And I took rocks one by one and I made this great big smiley face out of rocks. And I wrote the note, "Dear Paula, you want to know how cool I think you are? Go over to the footbridge this morning and look down, and there you will see a picture of me thinking of you. Love, your secret admirer." Can you believe it didn't work? I called her the next day. I'm like, "Paula, I think you're cool." And she's like, "Nothing." "Paula, I'm your secret admirer." Nothing. That's when I learned that crazy is just crazy. But over 21 years of being married to Bridget, I can tell you what crazy love is. Crazy love isn't doing crazy things like that to try to get someone's attention. Crazy love is sitting with somebody when they're sick. Crazy love is when your husband has gotten so big he can't tie his own shoes. I used to weigh about 150 pounds more, and my wife would tie my shoes for me every day. It's crazy love. Crazy love is forgiving you when you're wrong. That doesn't happen very often in our house. Who hired him? Crazy love is knowing you and loving you anyway. Crazy love is getting your husband season tickets to the Green Bay Packers for his 46th birthday. A guy can try. A guy comes out. Crazy love is different than being crazy because of love. And I've learned that difference over these last 21 years. Today's story is about a crazy kind of love. I don't know if you picked it up when you first heard Charlene read that scripture today, because maybe when you first heard her read that scripture, it sounded like just a crazy story. It's one of these stories that we don't often like to preach with. Truth be told, I went to the lectionary this week because we were between sermon series, and I wanted the scripture to give me something easy this week. But it gave me this crazy story about this landlord and these tenants, and everybody gets beat up and killed and kicked out of the garden. And I'm like, Jesus, can I get the prodigal son today? But this is really a story about crazy love. It's about a vineyard owner. In the scripture, the vineyard is where God does God's work. It's where God does God's activity. The vineyard is symbol for all of creation. And God has put some tenant farmers, some servants, some stewards to be in charge of his creation. So every once in a while, in order to check on how the vineyard's doing, God sends some servants to check on us tenant farmers. And what do we tenant farmers do to God's servants? We beat them up. We kick them out. So what does God do after we beat them up and kick them out? He sends some more. He sent some more prophets to come and say, hey, maybe you ought to think about doing this different. And do we say, hey, thank you very much, God, for sending us some good reminders? No, we beat them up and we kick them out and we kill them once again. The story gets interesting here because God says, I got an idea. I know how to really communicate this love to them. I'll send a piece of myself to them. I'll give a piece of my heart to them. I'll send my kid to them. I'll send my son to them. Surely if I send my son to them, that they will respect my son. They will listen to my son. It'll be different if I send my son. Well, what do we do to his son? We put him on the cross. And then comes the question in verse 40 that upon this whole story hangs. Jesus turns to the disciples and to the Pharisees who he's telling the story says, what do you think the owner of the vineyard is going to do now? What now? What is God going to do now? And the Pharisees answer like we would answer, because we want God to be like we would do. God's going to come back and he's going to take care of those people once and for all. He's going to do to them what they've been doing to him. He's going to smite them. He's going to judge them. He's going to beat them. He's going to kick them out. They're finally going to get what they deserve. And it sounds kind of familiar, because that's kind of our answer sometimes, isn't it? Truth be told, there's a part of me that wants God to be mad sometimes. I want a God who's going to come down here and straighten some people out. Straighten some things out. There's a part of me that wants God to be spiteful and revengeful, because there's a part of me that is spiteful and revengeful. Especially when you mess with my kid. I'll never forget it. It was kindergarten. We went to the PTA meeting, and they had one of those things where you go to the PTA meeting and you send your kid into the gym for a free-for-all for 45 minutes, and you pray the whole time that it's going to be okay. I came out and I watched this other kindergartner come up to my kid, and I don't know, he like stepped on his foot or something, and it took everything within me not to walk across that gym floor, take that little kindergartner and go, you feeling lucky, punk? You feeling lucky, punk? Because there's a part of me like that, I want a part of God like that sometimes. Don't you? Who will come down and just say, enough of wrecking the vineyard. I sent my servants and you killed them. So I sent some more prophets and you killed them. So finally I sent my kid and you killed him. Enough is enough. Be done with this. Be done with this. Be done with this. Jesus asked the question, what would God do if that keeps happening? And here's the miracle, friends. We know what God did. Upon killing his son, we know exactly what God did. God rose him from the dead and sent him right back to us again. Right back to the very people who rejected him and scorned him and abused him in the first place. Sent him right back again and said, let's try this one more time. Maybe, just maybe, they'll get it this time. That is crazy, landlord. That is a love that keeps saying, maybe, just maybe, this time. Maybe, just maybe, this time. Maybe, just maybe, this time. I'm gonna let your favorite line of mine, maybe, just maybe, right? Maybe, just maybe, this time. That's why this story is so surprising, because God doesn't back down when it comes to crazy love. God stands God's ground when it comes to crazy love. In fact, God puts the whole cornerstone of this crazy kingdom that he has on this idea of crazy love. God is the one who will stand up and say that in the face of violence, more violence makes no more sense. So I'll meet it again with love. I don't know about you, but I needed that story this week. Because when I woke up on Monday morning, my heart just sunk. I woke up and I heard the news and I literally sat in my car for 20, 25 minutes outside of the church being like, okay, what am I supposed to go in and do today, God? What am I supposed to talk about today? A lone gunman takes the lives of 50 people, injures hundreds, traumatizes thousands. And if I'm honest with you, I sat in the parking lot of the church and I wanted God to come down here and straighten everything out. I didn't want a crazy love God that morning. I wanted a God who was a lot like me, who will come up to you and say, you feeling lucky, punk? Try that again. I wanted the shooter. I wanted the shooter to get caught, and I wanted him to stand trial. I wanted him to suffer. I'm against the death penalty, but that morning, I was reconsidering it. And then I wanted this week to go take every single politician on both sides of the aisle that was going to use this moment to just cause us to be more mad at each other and say, stop it. Just stop it. You're not helping anybody. I wanted to round up everybody who ever sold a gun to somebody who killed somebody with it. And I wanted to be, stop it. Just stop it. And then I get this story about a crazy landlord who comes down and says, this is the cornerstone of my kingdom. I'm just going to keep coming back and coming back and coming back until you get it. And I don't want crazy love like that until I need crazy love like that. Until I'm the one who screwed up. Until I'm the one who's made the mistake. Until I'm the one who's done something I'm ashamed of. Then I'm grateful for a crazy landlord who hasn't given up on me. And here's the deal. If God hasn't given up on me, then God hasn't given up on you. And if God hasn't given up on you and on me, then maybe God hasn't given up on all of us who live in the vineyard altogether. So I'm here today to tell you this morning, if you are feeling outside of that crazy love, if you feel like you've done something that God has written you off for, if you feel like you have been in a spot where you can't be forgiven or redeemed, then I'm here today to tell you this story is for you, because you are still in the vineyard, and the cornerstone upon which God is building this kingdom is one of crazy love. And the world needs it. I need it. And my guess is that most of you need it too. I know what you're saying. That's great preaching, preacher. That's some really fancy stuff they taught you up there in that theology school of yours. But stick your head out into my world for a minute. Does that stuff really work? Do you really believe it? Friends, I don't just believe it, I've seen it. And I've met it. His name was Bud. Bud Welch. I met this man. This man owned a gas station in Terre Haute, Indiana. He had one daughter. Her name was Julie. Proud of Julie. Loved Julie. So excited when she finally graduated from college and got her first job with the federal government as an interpreter. And her job was at the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. Julie was one of the 178 people who died in that horrific bombing on that day in 1995. And Bud said on that day, I didn't need Timothy McVeigh to stand trial. I just need Timothy McVeigh to meet Julie's dad. Julie's dad will take care of Tim McVeigh. You just send him to me. You take my baby, you deal with me. Bud said for months on end, he was just filled with that anger and that rage. He could have killed the man with his own hands. He said then a day happened that caught him completely by surprise. While watching television, he saw on TV, he saw Bill McVeigh. He saw Timothy McVeigh's father on TV. And he said something happened on the TV that day. My eyes caught the eyes of a man whose look in his eyes only a man who's lost his own kid would understand. And something in my heart melted that day. And Bud Welch said, on that day, I knew I needed to meet Tim McVeigh's dad. And I needed to tell him I didn't blame him for this. And so we found a way to meet, and it took months, because you can imagine, Bill McVeigh was not trusting that anybody of the victims of his son's crimes would have come to his house with forgiveness in his heart. They met that day. Bill McVeigh was a gardener. They walked through the garden, and then they sat together at the kitchen table. They sat in silence. It was awkward. Bud Welch looked behind Bill McVeigh, and there on the wall was Timothy McVeigh's graduation picture. And somewhere, Bud said, from deep within me, these words came out of my mouth. Hey, Bill, that boy of yours, he sure was a good-looking kid. And there at that table, two men broke down in tears, and they cried. 18 months later, when Timothy McVeigh was executed for his crimes for the Oklahoma City bombing, one other father stood with him. Bud Welch stood there with Bill McVeigh and held his hand. That's a crazy story about a crazy love and a crazy God who wants to build this crazy kingdom that can set a crazy world back on its right cornerstone. And the only thing I'm hoping and praying today is that there are some of us who might just be crazy enough to believe it.
Thank you.
This morning we welcomed Avery. Avery into a community whose cornerstone is built on the craziest love of all. Avery, welcome. Welcome to this crazy group of people who've met this crazy landlord who says that no matter how many times we might disappoint him, his love for us, well, his love for us will continue to win. Thank you, little one, for showing us today what that kind of love looks like. Go in peace, my friends, and may this crazy peace go with you too. Amen?
Amen.
Give someone a hug or a handshake on the way out, would you? A high five, a knuckle bump.